Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, good morning! 404! Hey, McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Wednesday morning. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. We got you for one more hour here as we take it till 5 a.m. and the warm-up show. We got Fleegs on the other side, and I've been yelling mainly about the Knicks. We got into a little bit of baseball. We'll continue to take your calls on the Mets come-from-behind victory, the Yankees blowout win, the unbelievable home run we saw from Judge, Soto getting back on track, all of it. Alonso still being clutch. Diaz looking like the best closer in baseball yet again. DJ LeMahieu turning back the clock. At what point do we recognize that, or do we still have to win? I mean, he's just been really good. And it's not that he's been so good that I'm already on the idea of he's fine, leave him there, or they don't have to make another trade. I still would, but it's clear as day. We have to be fair. And his range, which was under scrutiny in the Red Sox series, which is fair. In this series, he made a couple of plays on pop-ups where he had a run, and he looked a lot smoother and better range than he had in the Red Sox series, and he's just hitting the ball hard, plain and simple. He's hitting the ball hard, more hard than he's hit in a bunch of years. So Wells with a big home run that broke the game open, DJ LeMahieu playing better, Judge with a blast, Max Fried continues to be Max Fried, and the Mets as well come through with a big victory. But it's been about the Knicks and their incompetence, really. And I started the show saying I was really the last one to the party when it came to the owner and how this was clearly the owner stepping in and firing Tibbs off the exit meetings. The reports of a couple days ago that he spearheaded this, that he was the man who led the exit meetings. He was the one asking the questions while Leon Rose just sat there and watched, or, you know, played games on his phone during it or whatever he was doing. And I was the last one to come around on that. And I was hesitant to just accept that as a absolute fact that Leon Rose wasn't behind this. Leon Rose was told what to do, or this is clearly James Dolan and the dysfunction of the Knicks rearing its ugly head back again. And I was hesitant to just believe that. And now I've gone completely into the camp where that better have been the case. Because if this is how Leon Rose decided to fire this coach and the plan that is now followed, I have lost a lot of faith in this franchise and the leadership of Leon Rose. I have to admit, because today, the reports that came out throughout the day have been embarrassing for your New York Knicks. They just have. After yesterday doing a lot of the show on Jason Kidd, and Jason, the reports were that Jason Kidd had mutual interest and it felt like it was trending in that direction. Well, reports early on the day were people around the NBA are getting the idea that, one, the Knicks still haven't asked the Dallas Mavericks to talk to Jason Kidd, and two, that it feels like he's not going anywhere. That was the report earlier in the day. Then you get later at night, Francesa, of all people, Mike Francesa breaks the story that while we still haven't heard whether or not they asked the Mavericks for permission, they have reached out to the Minnesota Timberwolves about Chris Finch and have been denied. then Ian Begley and Shams and others come out with add Ime Udoka to that list, where the Knicks now added and asked the Houston Astros if he's available for discussion and were denied. And then Shams reports further that they still haven't asked Dallas, but if they do, the Dallas Mavericks are assuredly to say no as well. The New York Knicks fired the most successful head coach they have had in 25 years off of the most successful season they have had in 25 years. Their first Eastern Conference appearance in 25 years. And I understand the players weren't happy, and I understand things went, you know, south in the exit meetings about this coach, and it's past the idea that the coach had to go. My point is that when you fire a coach of that level of success, off of this season that we just all watched and got to experience, if you're going to tell me that this coach, that we believe that this roster has another level in it and they're capable of more than just getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, well, then you have to give me a coach. When you fire him, you have to give me a plan that you are going to get a coach that you know is going to be that next guy. And the New York Knicks have pivoted off the firing by going door to door and begging other teams to talk to their head coach. That's the plan. That's the pivot. It's not right to Johnny Bryant to say, hey, this is our guy, this is the assistant we've had in the building, and his perception throughout the league is that he's the next great head coach. He almost got the job in Phoenix. No. It's, hey, we kind of like Jason Kidd, but, you know, we got to ask Dallas first, but we have an indication that they're going to say no. So then we pivoted to Minnesota, and then we pivoted to Houston. Who knows where else we go? This is where the Knicks are right now, begging other organizations for their head coach. I'm sorry. This has been an embarrassment since the minute they blew that game. Since the minute game one was blown, this Nick thing has completely shifted. The excitement, the fun, the belief in the franchise, the belief in the team, all of it has withered away in my mind to the point now where we are just watching them just kick the can down the road, hoping someone steps up and says, I'll take it, or you can have my guy. That's where we are. We're at the point where the Knicks have no idea where to go. Jay Wright says no, or they're not interested. Malone says no, or they're not interested. Some of the bigger names that we expected to be a part of this thing isn't. They target Jason Kidd. We're talking about it for 2 days, mutual interest. Then we find out they still haven't asked, and Dallas is going to say no. And so what do they do from there? Where do they pivot from being told no on Jason Kidd? Well, we'll just ask other teams if their head coach is available. This is the plan. They fired a head coach who had more success than any other coach for 25 years. Took them to a place they haven't been in 25 years. And under the guidelines of he had to go because he lost the team, and everybody telling me, well, they wouldn't do this unless there was a plan. You know, they wouldn't do this unless there was a plan. What's the plan? Begging. Going around door to door and asking if other teams would be willing to move their head coach. And they've had the door slammed in their face 2 separate times, and looks like if they have the nerve to ask for Jason Kidd, they're going to have 3 doors slammed in their face. And then they're going to pivot to some assistant and tell me this was the guy all along? I have no idea what's going on inside the offices of the New York Knicks. And that's why I've gone straight into the idea of, I don't know if it's James Dolan, and that would be worst case scenario that it's James Dolan, and oh my God, the dysfunction would be back if James Dolan is meddling. Now I'm at the point where I hope it was James Dolan, because if this was the plan all along from Leon Rose, I feel pretty freaking bad about Leon Rose right now, and I don't want to. I've been extremely positive about Leon Rose since the minute he took over. He's done an incredible job. I don't want to think that he made that rash decision firing the coach and now has no freaking idea what to do. At this point, I'd almost rather it be the meddling owner has put him in a position where now he has to scramble. I'd rather have that than this be what he wanted to do. Because we have heard, oh, this is in the works. Oh, you know, you don't do this without thinking about it for a while. Tibbs was going to have to, right? The reports during the series. you know, from guys like the franchise and Knicks TV, who's, you know, connected, and he talks with Evan a lot, and he does a really great job in his podcast. He's talking about the idea that he's heard it's 50-50 inside the organization. Ian Begley, really, even before exit meetings probably even happened, is telling you, so this has been a thought of the New York Knicks organization to possibly move on from Tibbs for a while, and this is the plan. This is the plan. The grass is always greener, looking over other people's bushes to try and see if we can get their prized possessions. Like, it's just, it is every day another report comes out. Every single day, another story, another report, another angle that makes me less and less confident about where this franchise is going. When 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, was it May 16th on a Friday night, I had never felt better about where the organization was going. It was the best I felt as a Knick fan since I was a teenager. And 2 weeks later, I have no idea where they're going. I have no idea. Because when you fire Tibbs, he's not a failed head coach. It's not like the Tibbs experiment failed. They won 30 games last year, and now it's time to move on. He had the best season in 25 years. When you fire that head coach, you have to explain to me, because the idea is he was great. He did a wonderful job. We all owe him a debt of gratitude, but we think this roster is capable of more. It's been great. It's been wonderful. We've all experienced it. It led to the hottest ticket in Madison Square Garden in however many years, and parties in the street, and the most excitement a fan base has had in a quarter of a century. Yes, I know that, but we still feel like we could do better and get more out of this team. When you say that, you better come up with the guy that you can promise me, or at least really make a good argument that this guy's going to get more out of us. And instead, they're going to end up with their fourth and fifth choice after begging the rest of the NBA for their head coaches. It gets worse and worse as a Knick fan. After a stretch where it was getting better and better, it is getting worse and worse. 888-808-1019. We did the baseball as well, so we'll take your calls on that. Steven in Stamford. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you very much for taking my call. If somebody's sitting in their driveway at 4:28 or 4:15 a.m., they're probably talking to you, right?
Themselves. And, you know, God knows.
Exactly.
I've been in the driveway at 4 a.m. talking to myself, too. So,
yeah.
We've all been there.
So, thank you for taking my call. By the way, you're not the latest person to the party. I never went to the party. I had a feeling that the Knicks got caught up in hype. They shouldn't have beaten Boston. Boston was hurt. They would have lost, but this is all Dolan. This is Dolan's MO from day one. He can't share the limelight. He has to be the smartest person ever. He has to be the only person in the room. I never bought into it. And, you know, again, I was with you. I mean, I'm not a NBA fan anymore because I don't even like so much the,
All right, we're going to let you go, Steve. I'm sorry, buddy. Too much noise and you're breaking up. So be careful in your driveway. Anything's possible. I probably got a bear going through my garbage right now. 888-808-1019. But yeah, look, again, I was hesitant to just assume it was James Dolan because I felt like the assumption was just this is his MO. And I think that's a little unfair, and not that I'm inclined to try and be fair to James Dolan right now, but since he hired Phil Jackson, I really do feel like he stepped back and let them run the team. Between him and Leon Rose, between Jackson and Leon Rose, I really felt like he has stepped back and let the team, you know, be run by those two guys. And, you know, to say that he's never shown that capability, I mean, I know it's not the same thing and he has been less hands-on, but he's let Glenn Sather run the Rangers for how long? without really, we never hear, oh, this is Dolan. They never, like, you know, we haven't had a chance to get to it, short show with a lot going on, but Chris Kreider, and he hasn't been traded yet, but it sounds like Chris Kreider could be on his way to the Ducks in Anaheim. There's been speculation of a trade, and it feels like, you know, all the, they would take on all the money. We would, the Knicks would get back picks. It's just going to be a, you know, moving on from Chris Kreider and seeing if they could build from within. And Chris Kreider has been, you know, talk about it for a second here. You know, since the minute he came to the Rangers, made his debut in the postseason, he has been unbelievable. He has been a great Ranger. He's been here forever. He is a playoff performer. We are going to miss Chris Kreider. I, as of right now, he hasn't been traded, but it feels like it's inevitable, whether it's the Ducks or someone else. Drury is looking to trade Chris Kreider. He's had an incredible run. I think it's very likely his number is hanging in the rafters. That's how much he's meant to this organization and to this franchise. And it has been a long, fruitful, wonderful, without a championship, but great run for Chris Kreider and the Rangers. But, like, we never hear that. Like, no one's saying, man, James Dolan is all over this Kreider trade. Like, we never hear that with the Rangers. It's always the Knicks. It's always the Knicks. And there have been instances in the past. Of course, he forced Donnie Walsh to make the trade for Carmelo when Walsh didn't want to. Absolutely. It's not like he doesn't have a track record of it. And then his just blind loyalty to Isaiah Thomas has been a problem for that franchise for a long time. But since Phil Jackson, it really hasn't felt like he's meddled as much. And I just felt like we got to a point where we were blaming him because we, you know, the people who were against it couldn't justify the decision, didn't understand firing Tibbs. And so we just go, this is a nonsensical decision. It doesn't make sense. Who's the nonsensical factor in this organization? It's James Dolan. It's not Leon Rose. Leon Rose has been great. Leon Rose is too smart for this. It's got to be James Dolan. And I just felt like that was the leading force behind the idea that it was James Dolan. But now, as reports came out that it was, and he spearheaded these meetings, and clearly the exit meetings were, if not the only reason, the final straw for Thibodeau. And clearly now it feels like absolutely James Dolan had his fingerprints all over this. But at this point, I got to be honest, it's a little tongue-in-cheek because I never want the owner meddling. But it's almost as if I don't want my faith in Leon Rose to be, you know, evaporated. I don't want that diminished. I don't want that eroded. And I got to tell you, if this was Leon's plan, I mean, unless he was really completely caught off guard, if he doesn't have any kind of relationship with his players, if he was completely caught off guard by some of the things they had to say at the end of this season, like, I would think that you'd have to be a little bit more connected to your team, have a feeling for this. And there were reports while the series was going on that he better win the Pacers series. Like, there was a thought inside the organization that Tibbs could go this year anyway. Like, it wasn't just the exit meeting. So this has been something at least on the mind of Leon Rose for a little bit, and this is how they go about trying to replace him? It's almost better if he didn't want to do it and the owner forced him to do it and now he's scrambling, because at least that makes me feel better about Leon Rose. I don't want to feel like Leon Rose did all this and had no plan, because that's what it feels like right now. It feels like there was no plan and we're like, ooh, Jason Kidd might want out of Dallas. Let's check that. Ooh, you know, let's see if Minnesota would be willing to trade Chris Finch. They've hit the same wall block we have of the Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe they think it's time to fire their head coach because he's hit a plateau. Oh, apparently not. Minnesota's cool with making it to back-to-back conference finals. Somehow they're somewhat content with the idea that they've been a miserable franchise for forever, and now they're, you know, back in the Western Conference Finals back-to-back year. Somehow they're okay with Chris Finch because they don't want him going anywhere. Oh, let's go ask Houston if Ime Udoka is available. Like, he had some, you know, issues with, he came into a weird situation leaving Boston because of all the outside stuff and what he was dealing with employees and all that, what happened with him. Maybe, you know, they could view this as an opportunity. Nope, they're cool with him. Like, that's it. That's the plan. Go around asking other franchises if they're willing to give us their head coach. Frustrating. Hard to understand. So I hope it's the owner, because at least this dysfunction that follows is explained by the dysfunctional touch of the owner. Christopher in Jackson Heights. What's up, Chris?
Not much, Chris. just hanging in there. My heart goes out to all you Knicks fans, man. I'm not really following basketball like that, but when you hear the head coach gets fired and then you have all this turmoil going on, you're just like, man, I'm glad I'm not following basketball like that, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a difficult day. Ultimately, I still think the team is good. I still think they're talented enough with whatever coach to get back to at least a certain level of winning, but it was more than just winning. It was the stability of a franchise that was unstable for so long, and now it's back to the same crap we could always expect from the Knicks. So,
you want to talk about
the Mets, right? That's okay. Go ahead.
I do. Nah, the thing about the Mets, specifically like the with the pitching staff, with the coaches, I've had this thought for quite some time. But I started looking back at teams in the past who've excelled as far as with the pitching staff, and one team in particular that came to mind was Tampa Bay. And I started looking back, and I went back as far as 2008 just to see like the team leaders in ERA. And Tampa Bay has been consistent throughout the years. Now, it seems as though with the Mets, and you know, the first name mentioned would be Jeremy Hefner, but I think there's also, you know, you have the assistant coach and then the bullpen coach, where the Mets are starting to look or at least show that type of progress with their staff, where they're receiving what you consider, you know, where people throw out the trash and then someone else's trash is someone else's treasure. That's what it seems to be for the Mets at the moment, where you might receive these ball players. And it really did show last year with Severino and the others that nobody wanted these players. And then they picked them up, and Stearns, you know, with how he limited the salary for them, picked them up and they became gems. And it seems like it's starting to go in a consistent way. And then I started looking at Stearns and what he did with Milwaukee and how their pitching staff was. And it's the same thing. Now, if you combine both, Stearns, Hefner, the assistant pitching coach, and the bullpen coach, all that together is what's making, I guess, to be some potential future, like it's going to be consistent.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm so happy about.
Oh, I mean, Chris, and thank you very much for the call. I mean, where you been? Welcome to the Mets Pitching Lab. I mean, you just broke down what we've all been raving about for the last 2 years. Yes. Everything you just said, yes. I mean, I don't even want to throw Tampa Bay in there for some reason and talk about, yeah, I mean, you know, Tampa Bay has done a great job. Tampa Bay was really known for making great trades and getting rid of guys the perfect time and, you know, really doing well with the pitching staff, no doubt, and some pitching prospects. I would say Houston really had a run there of resurrecting guys and you know, they bring in Verlander at the end of his career, or at least what people thought was the end of his career in Detroit, and resurrected him to win more Cy Youngs. And, you know, Gerrit Cole goes over there as a young, talented starting pitcher who hadn't really put it all together just yet and obviously becomes one of the best pitchers in baseball. Charlie Morton, the list goes on and on. They did a really incredible job of building a staff like that. So the Rays were the example of building from within and getting good young pitchers. And then the Astros were the face of kind of finding guys who off the scrap heap, and the Mets are kind of doing both, I guess. I don't know, but mostly the scrap heap part of it. Yeah, no, there is no doubt. What they're doing with the pitching staff is remarkable. And as far as being excited about it, of course, because I've said this before, even when I was critical of how Stearns was running it, even when I was unsure about not trying to go out there and get another top of the rotation guy with all the money that Steve Cohen has, I've never made any two bones about it. In my estimation, what David Stearns is trying, and at the moment, the last 2 years, being successful at doing, is building a team in the, without question, best manner of building a baseball team. If you are capable of building a starting pitching staff through your farm system or through cheap one-year deals or two-year deals, short-term contracts for guys you're able to get the best of, and you can build a pitching staff that is top of the game, like since June of last year and, you know, really all of this year, you're talking about 1 through 5 consistently, even dealing with injuries, even with losing Senga, even with losing Manaea this year, they have had the best starting five in baseball for a calendar year now. If you can do that, going through the island of misfit toys and having guys come through your farm system, which hasn't been as prevalent yet, but that's what they're trying to do. If you can build a rotation through your farm system and through short-term finding gems where others don't see it, and then put all of your money, the immense amount of money that the richest owner in baseball has, into superstar players and the big contracts for the great players, the great everyday players, and build your lineup through, obviously, everything through the farm system on some level, but through the farm system, and they've done a good job of that. Beatty, Vientos, obviously Alonso, they've signed other contracts now, McNeil, Nimmo, but they've all come through. But like, if you can put all of your money in position players, guys who play every day, the superstars, when the big players show up, you play in that game, right? When Juan Soto becomes available, you're all over it. Maybe next year, I know they're a little jam-packed in the outfield, but like when the Tuckers become available, you're all over it. When the big superstar young player becomes available, you're all over it, and give big contracts and have all the money in your lineup while you are keeping pitching cheap. That is, without question, the best way to run a franchise. I don't know how you could argue, because pitching gets hurt. Corbin Burns down with the elbow surgery. You know, even the most dependable starting pitcher over the last handful of years, and Gerrit Cole, Tommy John surgery. It happens consistently all the time. Pitchers get hurt. If you can have an excellent pitching rotation without spending big bucks. Now, we talk about Max Fried. Thank God the Yankees gave Max Fried the contract. He's been great. I still think eventually you're going to have to pick a guy or two throughout this process and take a chance on him, but David Stearns is going about building a franchise the best way you can. There's no doubt. Build from within. Don't pay your starting pitchers. Pay superstar players. If you can make that work, that's the best way to run a franchise in Major League Baseball. And so far, they've been able to do it. And there's no reason to think that they can't do it moving forward. It's been back-to-back years. At this point, until they don't, I'll believe they will. And if I'm a Mets fan, that's the one thing I point to. The Juan Soto contract plays into it because he's the superstar I want to give money to, but it's not even so much about what that means and stealing him from the Yankees or whatever else. Like, what I'm most excited about as a Met fan, if I were a Met fan right now, is I have an executive who understands the best way to build a franchise, and he's executing it as well as any executive in all of baseball. And we have the richest owner, where if anything does fail in that department, or there's the one guy who doesn't go along with the plan, or they need to bolster it at the trade deadline, or, you know, need to figure out just to give one guy money in that way, I've got a guy who can cover up the few mistakes my GM makes with the biggest bankroll in all of baseball. It is baseball nirvana. But you got to be able to do it. It's not easy. So far, too.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
All right, McMonagle here with you. 4:35 on this Wednesday morning, June 11th. Talking mainly Knicks and the disaster that has been the search for a head coach after the firing of Tibbs. A little bit of baseball. The Mets with a come-from-behind win, as they were down 4-2 in the eighth, Marte with a walk, and then Soto and Alonso do what they've been doing over the past, really for Alonso the entire season. But Soto has really awoken here over the last 2 weeks. Home run earlier in the game as well. A little bit of the head nod, a little bit of the body language that you're used to. It feels like Soto is back in full swing as the Mets continue to pitch. Griffin Canning wasn't perfect, but the bullpen was. And they find a way to come back on the Nationals and win it in extras 5-4. Jeff McNeil with the walk-off base hit, who's been really, really good. Now, I was talking with Fleegs about it, like, and they even said it on the broadcast, obviously, the call, you know, never to keep anyone waiting. McNeil comes through with the first pitch fastball. Like, he has made a career of swinging at first pitch fastballs. I mean, look, I'm not trying to knock credit for him. He deserves all the credit in the world. He's got an 890 OPS. He's hitting home runs out in Colorado. He has been far better. You know, he had a stretch last year, obviously, before his injury, where he was playing really well for a while, and he is back to that plus right now, playing extremely well. But how you throw Jeff McNeil a first pitch fastball right down the middle in that kind of situation, I'll never know, but doesn't mean he's going to get a base hit with it, and he sure did. The New York Mets win. Diaz pitching like he did a couple years ago, a force at the back end of the bullpen. The rotation continues to throw out good starts. Even Griffin Canning, 5 1/3 of 4 runs. It's not good. It's not a great start for him, especially the way he's been pitching, but it's good enough to keep them in the game, give them some length, and the bullpen came in and did its job. Even the great Justin Garza, who hadn't pitched in multiple years, comes in the eighth inning with two runners on in down runs and manages to keep it at two and allows the Mets to come back. The Yankees with a blowout win, the longest home run you'll ever see in your life, from the great Aaron Judge, who I see Brett on Long Island right now on the line. I'm sure he's very excited about a home run in June against the Kansas City Royals. I'm sure he has no opinion on the idea that that's absolutely meaningless. And the New York Yankees pound Kansas City for the first game of that series. And you saw a couple of real positive things for the Yankees. One, Wells is starting to come out of, like, if you look at Wells, he's on pace right now for about 25 and 85 to 90 RBIs. And people still, you know, people are tough on him and Volpe because they were the, you know, he was the runner-up for Rookie of the Year last year. Wells, he was the middle-of-the-lineup guy that kind of changed the lineup last year when they put him fourth. Had about an 860, 880 OPS in the second half. Struggled in the postseason, but this guy, while not being a superstar, I mean, if you look at the other catchers around Major League Baseball, right now this guy's hit big home runs for them. He drives in 5 runs last night. All off a lefty, hit a home run off Garrett Crochet off a lefty. He's been much better against left-handed pitching this year. And right now he's on pace to have an excellent season. And the New York Yankees, with the pivot in this offense, you know, we get on Grisham shouldn't be hitting second, and Wells sucks, and Volpe's a disaster year three. And yet this team, the average OPS is 710 in Major League Baseball, and the New York Yankees have 10 hitters with a higher OPS than Major League average. That's what this pivot was all about. And you have to admit, they've done a really nice job despite, you know, losing the season on Sunday against the Boston Red Sox. So, good night for both baseball teams. Ugly, ugly day of reports for the New York Knicks. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Reese in Manalapan. What's up, Reese?
What's going on, Chris?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Doing good. I got to be honest, when the news with Tibbs getting fired broke, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm a diehard Knicks fan, but he brought the most competitive amount of Knicks competitive basketball in the 5 years he was coaching here. And I knew we were in big trouble the moment this broke, because I asked a bunch of Knicks fans who watch games way more on a regular basis than even I'm willing to admit I do. And they can't feed me a single coaching candidate who they would be so confident in as to who can bring out the true best in these guys, because it's obvious that if they were willing to fire his Tibbs as quick as they did, they must have really believed that Tibbs wasn't the right guy to carry this team over the hump. Yeah. But then if it's not him, who is? Because you have few coaches who are in the league who, granted, yes, like, does Tibbs have a ring? No. But does he bring a pedigree of competitive basketball, of like an identity of being tough to play against? Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's just not many other options out there. And that's how I knew this coaching search was just going to be a disaster. And it just feels like a very, very emotional, rash decision that wasn't given enough thought.
No, Reese, I completely thank you for the call. I completely agree with you. Again, it's beyond the firing of Tibbs now, because we've had plenty of time to come to terms with that. Right? I don't disagree. I wouldn't have fired him. They did. I do understand it on some level. I mean, I'm not an idiot. I can buy into it on some level. I wouldn't have done it, but I can understand it. And then clearly, if the exit meetings were as strong as they were, if the thought was that a lot of the players wouldn't play for him or fed up playing for him, or there was a real issue inside the room, like, again, I would have told them, too bad, this guy's been too successful, we'll make it work, we'll talk to him, let's figure this thing out. That's how I would have handled it, but they didn't. But it's the search now, it's the plan. And you're right, who are they going to go to? Who are they going to go to? Because now we are on to our fourth and fifth option, whoever they hire. And it's a job that comes with an expectation of getting to the NBA Finals. Now, clearly, with an owner who is meddling, a group of players that feels like they can go to the owner now and make their voices heard and make complaints heard. A roster that's kind of in flux is, you know, speculation of making massive trades and blowing it up, you know, and getting KD or trying to get Giannis or whatever. Like, not that you wouldn't welcome a Giannis to your team if you're a coach, but it's just, it's a little bit of an unstable situation. It's players who had a real problem with the last head coach. You've got a superstar on the team that loved the last head coach, and you've got to deal with his father on the bench. That's a lot for a head coach to come into. Doesn't mean it's not a talented roster. Doesn't mean it's not a good job. It's just a complicated one. And the search for it has literally been knocking on doors saying, hey, can we have your guy? That's been the plan of Leon Rose and the New York Knicks. Hey, can we have your guy? It was Jason Kidd for a couple days. Now we're getting reports, obviously, that, you know, they went to Minnesota for Finch. They went to Houston for Udoke. Like, that's what this search has become. Asking your neighbor for his bowl of sugar. That's where we are. It's embarrassing. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
I'm going to talk about Tibbs, but you poked the bear. Mm-hmm. I looked up worst baseball plays in the postseason of all time. And Fleeks can fact check that. And it starts with Gil Hodges in 1952, 70-something years ago, and it ends with Aaron Judge. So let's stop. We'll revisit this, okay? I put that to bed for a little bit, all right? So stop with that. When you're historic, we know that narrative. But you don't talk about the postseason. The guy's the worst postseason player ever in 70 years. Stop, in the open era.
What's that?
One of, Chris.
No, he's not. He's not. You're talking about strikeouts. That's it.
I know, strikeouts for starters.
That's it. That's the only
one. And his slump is terrible. Compared to his regular season average, he bats 199 in the postseason. You're funny. 199 in the postseason from 398 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Chris, I want to talk about Thibodeau, okay? I won that one. It's 1-0 me. Stop.
Yeah, okay. Congratulations.
There's nothing to fight about.
No, there's nothing to fight
about. Okay, Babe Ruth. You're right. Okay.
Going against
Babe Ruth, 22 years of playing and having a 2.2 ERA. And the guy hit 700, whatever, home runs. But yes, okay, he's Babe. Don't use his name the same thing.
You're right. No, Thibodeau, going against Aaron Judge is a victory for you. Good luck. Good luck with that one. Okay, so next.
In the postseason. Stop changing the narrative.
No.
Thibodeau. I turned the radio on. You're crying about Thibodeau. Where was that passion a month ago when I was arguing with your listeners and I was arguing with everybody on my 11 online social media groups, and you were on there, you know it. You were on there saying, yeah, well, he was 1-19 against, you know, the winning teams, and he can't get it done in the big one. You did say all that. Yeah, I know. And then you were like, oh, if he loses, you know, we could, you know, talk about firing him. My point was, Chris, did they not change the team from last year? And you didn't want to talk about that. When I brought that up, you're like, oh, we're not going to talk about that anymore. Okay. But yes, we needed to talk about it. Hartenstein, look at the players. They all went far. We got rid of like five players, Chris. But you didn't want to talk about that. Now you're crying about Thibodeau. You're such a flip-flopper.
Brett, you're lying through your teeth. You could go on and say
about?
The idea
you said all of that.
Okay, you can't yell over me. I'm not going to allow it.
Okay, again.
So stop.
Go ahead, I win this without yelling.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay, I know. First of all, who's winning or losing? Like, stop. Stop.
Me, because you look
Yeah, no, I know. Okay. Before, okay, I know. Going against Aaron Judge, real winner. Good for you. Good call on that one. I acknowledged everything you're saying I didn't acknowledge. And I, of course they changed the team on him. I've been saying that from the jump. And I never once said he was the reason they can't beat the Celtics or that he's the reason they can't get past.
But you questioned him.
Of course I questioned him. I'm allowed to question him.
In the playoffs when I tried to talk about it, and they hadn't been in the playoffs since 7 years before that. I said all that.
Okay, thanks a lot, Brett. Thank you very much. Okay, just because you shouted at the top of your lungs doesn't make it true. I never said any of those things. I was critical of him in the Detroit series in not getting the ball to Karl Anthony Towns when everybody was all over Towns. I said he needs to get him the ball. He needs to find a way. I never once said anything other than Tibbs is a great head coach and this is year one with this roster. I said the New York Knicks haven't proved they can beat the Boston Celtics, the Cleveland Cavaliers, or the Oklahoma City Thunder. I said that along with everybody else. I never specifically said it's because of the coach. Never once. Never once. I never blamed him for their shortcomings. I was critical of him in the Detroit series because everyone was getting on Karl Anthony Towns, and I said it's his job to get the ball to Karl Anthony Towns. The offense and how the game plan was being run with the hero ball was leading to Karl Anthony Towns. People were like, oh, he needs to demand the ball. I'm like, demand the ball? Jalen Brunson doesn't pass. Jalen Brunson playing hero ball. If he stands there and puts his arms up, it's going to do nothing but clog up the middle. They need some adjustments, and they need to get Karl Anthony Towns the ball. That was my point in the first round. I also praised him the entire Boston series. Praised him for his double big lineup that caused problems, how he was in the head of the coach. They were fouling Mitch Robinson to get him off the floor. I was praising Tibbs. And I came out the minute they said that series, they won that series. Go check it out. The minute they won that series, I said, we can put to bed the idea of moving on from Tibbs. The second they won the Boston series, you scream and scream. And I'm not surprised you don't know what I say because you don't listen. You just yell and count victories on senseless arguments like Aaron Judge sucks. Like, in the postseason, he's not been nearly as good as he's been. His OPS is still over 700. He is not one of the worst players in postseason history. He has more strikeouts. That's it. That's the only number. And I'm not saying that's insignificant or that he's been good in the postseason, but you want to diminish what we're seeing? Go ahead. You want to make it all about the postseason? Go ahead. You want to say that none of this matters and it's not impressive that he's hitting 400 in June and you want to diminish it and go against how great of a baseball player we are privileged to watch? By all means, if you want to count it a win in your own, 11 social media groups, determined to be the biggest jerk on the planet world, by all means, count it a win. Go ahead, write it down on a paper. I hope you have a little whiteboard in your living room. And count how many victories you have over McMonagle. Count them. Go ahead. Count it as a win. I don't give a damn. But when you start screaming at the top of your lungs against things I never said, then I start to have a problem. And I'm tired of yelling over you. I was critical in the Detroit series. Absolutely. And I said if he doesn't win the series, his job could be in jeopardy. Absolutely said that. The minute they won that Boston series, I praised them for how he coached throughout it. I said he outcoached Missoula, and I said that's the end of the debate. Tibbs is coming back. I wasn't even that critical in the Pacers series. Where was my passion? My passion was with the Knicks, not necessarily keeping Tibbs' job. The narrative changes once the Knicks lose and they fire him. Passions change, and right now, I'm more concerned with how the Knicks are moving forward.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, McLeod here with you on The Fan, 4:56, just a few minutes before we get to the warm-up show at 5 on this Wednesday morning, the June 11th, actually the birthday of my firstborn son. Happy birthday, Tommy. But yeah, Aaron Judge has a higher OPS in the postseason than Mookie Betts. I'll just leave that there. Mookie Betts has 2 championships. Just saying, higher OPS than Mookie Betts. Not that that's a ringing endorsement, because we all know he's been bad in the postseason, but the worst postseason player of all time, in some people's minds, has a better OPS in the postseason than Mookie Betts, who's won 2 championships, 3 championships. Mitchell in Fort Lee, real quick. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, yeah. And argue every night. They're just enjoying about a team winning, losing, whatever else. It's just a complete joke. And you must have thrills about arguing with you. I give you credit every night to try to handle this.
Thank
this
you. Just, right, just try and watch the potty mouth, but I appreciate it.
Okay, number 2, with the Yankees. It's really nice to see how the Yankees, now everything is working, everything's falling into place. And I always said, and everyone complained, and everyone said to me that I'm crazy about the one player. And right now he's hot, and let's keep it going. LeMahieu, I mean, LeMahieu is hitting the ball, he's playing good defense, and the infield is completely, it's set perfectly. You know, I'd rather have LeMahieu. Would you like to have LeMahieu at third base or second base better? And switch it.
Yeah, listen, on the surface I would, and we're up against it. Mitch, thank you for the call, buddy. I appreciate it, and thank you for trying to stick up for me, but I'm good. Yeah, on the surface, I could see DJ LeMahieu being a better third baseman, less worry about range. You'd rather have the more explosive defender and with the better range at the second base position, middle infield position. We saw Jazz try and do too much in the game yesterday at third base, where he cut off a ball that Salvador Perez hit, where Volpe would have had plenty of time to make the play, but he's got so much range, he gets over and cuts in front of Volpe and spins and throws the ball wildly. Like, the better athlete, the better range, typically I'd rather have at second base than third. I think there's a couple of reasons. One, they've talked about it. DJ LeMahieu is just trying to get comfortable. They want DJ LeMahieu to feel comfortable and to try and focus strictly on hitting. And although he's played a ton of third base, he's most comfortable with second. And they just want to get him, ease him in, not ask him to do a position he's less comfortable with and try and hit. And then the other thing is, I think they want to make sure Jazz is flexible, has enough games at third under his belt, because at the trade deadline, you have to be willing to either get a third baseman or a middle infielder, and Jazz might have to play third the rest of the year if that's the trade target. So I think that has a lot to do with it. But yes, on the surface, do I think they're better defensively switching the two? I do. Thank you guys for calling. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Fleegs on the other side. The warm-up show is coming your way. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, and let's hope that we don't find out that the Knicks tried another coach to hire and they were told no. Let's see how many teams we could find out tomorrow the Knicks have asked to steal their head coach away. Everybody, enjoy the day. I'll talk to you again tomorrow, 2 a.m. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
That makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.